Kristen. Come up, Kristen. I'm going to pray for you as you speak. Pull the music stand forward. So, for those of you who don't know, Kristen works at Zacks. She also works for Axia. So, technically, I part employ you, don't I?
You do.
As one of the committee members of Axia. So, I'll leave Kirsten to say what that is, but I just want to pray for her as she comes to share. So, Father God, I just want to thank you for Kristen. I just thank you for her, Lord. Thank you for what you have put in her heart. Thank you for what she's going to share today. We pray, Lord, you would speak with power, that you would speak with authority, and that, Lord, you would speak to each one of us according to what you know we need. Just bless Kristen as she speaks, Lord. Just fill her with all that she needs today. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning. It's really great to be here with you. I have visited once before. It was a while back, but this is my second time, so it's really nice to be here. And as John said, I work just down the road at Zach's Youth Bar. Does anyone know what that is? Yes, good, few nods. There's some fancy coloured shutters just along Market Street. That's basically where we are. So I've worked there now for about 2.5 years. And then I also work for the Farmworth Christian Youth Network. Catchy title. And so I work one day a week for them as well. And I'll explain a little bit about what that is. But I'm a Bolton lass. I grew up in Bolton. I live in North Bolton near Mossbank Park. Has anyone been there? It's a lovely place. I worship at St. Peter's Halliwell normally on a Sunday. And I'm a massive Strictly Come Dancing fan. Anybody else love Strictly Come Dancing? Just me? Yes. So I was watching it last night. Such a good time. Kelvin got a 40 if anybody's interested. But and today, the theme that John gave me was on unlocking youth potential. So as a youth worker, someone likes working with young people, I like to be a bit interactive, if that's okay. So I'm going to make you do a little bit of work. Oh, the looks of death I just received. So just very out of interest, just a show of hands. No offence if you're not in this age bracket, but show of hands for people that are under the age of 25 that are sat in this room right now. So quite a fair few. That's encouraging. A show of hands, if whilst you were in that age bracket, or if you still are, if you had somebody that invested in you as a young person, somebody that spent their time encouraging you, building you up, show of hands if you had somebody whilst you were a teenager that maybe invested their time in you. Nice. Look like there's a bit of conflict going on in the front row here. So what I want you to do, just for 30 seconds or so, maybe a bit longer, is turn to the person next to you, say hello if you don't know who they are. This is one of those great opportunities. If you've never like asked somebody's name before, you can do. And tell them who that person was that invested in you. What was their name? What role did they have in your life? And what was it that, how did they make an impact on your life? What did they do to make an impact on your life? So turn to the person next to you. Amazing. Is anyone willing to share an example of somebody that had an impact on them when they were a young person, or maybe even now, if you're still in that age bracket? Come on, you lot are good at sharing. Yes. Oh, that's really amazing. Thank you. That's special. Anyone else? Yes, sir. Your dad. How did he impact you? Yeah. Got a microphone. Nice.
He paid for my school. When I failed, he would encourage me. He would push me up. And, of course, advisory, very, very advisory. And encouraged me to go to church almost every Sunday. He did that when I was very young. He took me. He used to hold my hand. Come on. Go and listen to that man. Listen to that man all the time. So my life has been just about fellowship ever since childhood because of my father.
Yeah, that's amazing. Thank you. And I'm sure that there looked like there's lots of conversations going on, but I'm sure for all of us, at some point in our life, there was somebody that made an impact on us during those early years of our life, whether it was a teacher or a youth worker or our parents or maybe even a next door neighbour. But that's something that we're going to look at this morning. And I want to tell you a little bit about the Farmworth Christian Youth Network. And basically what this is, if you've not heard of it before, is that the local churches together group in Farmworth decided that they wanted to invest more into the lives of young people. They wanted to do something for young people in this town. And I was speaking to a friend of mine recently who is a church leader over in Israel, actually. He runs a charity over there working on reconciliation between Israelis and Palestinians. And he travels across the world, like the global church, talking to people. And so he knows his stuff. And he said to me the other day, he was at my house, they were just visiting England. And he said that one of the main concerns, whenever he asks a church leader, a global church leader, often church leaders in America, and whenever he asks them what is their main concern as a church leader for the future of the church, is, and their response is always that they are concerned that there is a generational gap. And the main concern is, how on earth are we ever going to get over this generational gap? That generational gap being that kind of 13 to 30s bracket that is lacking within our churches. And what the Farmworth Christian Youth Network is that this is the church's response here in Farmworth to try and to overcome that generational gap. And the vision for the Youth Network is threefold. We want to unite young people, disciple young people, and reach young people. And I just want to be clear that we are not a youth church. We are not here to create a little extra group just for young people. But we want to encourage the church here in Farmworth to think about how can we impact the lives of young people. So in a moment, I've got a video, if you could line that up. But the first thing is uniting young people. And I'm just going to explain these 3 points, and then we're going to move on to something else. But just so you get a bit of a picture of what we're doing here in Farmworth. So the first thing is uniting young people. And the main way that we do that is through a monthly youth gathering. And that youth gathering is called Axia. Axia is a Greek word for the word worth. Because we believe that all of us as human beings have got worth as sons and daughters of the living King. Yes? Yes, and we want young people to know that worth that they have in Jesus. So that is why we called these gatherings Axia, as they come together, as we meet together to worship, to hear the word, to have fellowship, make friends. That is the place where they're going to hopefully grow more in their understanding of their worth. And the other thing, which I thought was a bit clever when I had this, I believe it was from the Lord, is that we live in Farmworth. And we really want to put the worth back into Farmworth, which I believe is a phrase that John likes to use as well. So that is why we call these gatherings Axia. So We unite once a month. We meet at St. James's High School. We also gather with the wider church across Bolton at an event called Youth Unite, where churches from across Bolton and Greater Manchester meet four times a year, and we have this massive worship gathering. Another thing that we're doing to unite is to unite youth leaders. So getting youth leaders together from lots of different churches to encourage each other, to share in each other's difficulties. But before I carry on, we're going to show a little video of some Axia highlights. We've been running for a year and a half now, so take a look at this. There you go. That was exciting, wasn't it? So that is Axia, and we've been running now for a year and a half. So that was just kind of a highlights video from the last year or so. But if you are a young person here today and you're kind of high school age and you'd like to join us, come find me at the end, because I've got a little invite for you for our Christmas social that's happening next Sunday, so next weekend. That was the one with, you saw Beth Jenkins, who used to work here. She had cream all over her face. We were throwing cheesy Wotsits at her. It was a good time. But yeah, that's just AXIA. The second thing is discipleship. We want to disciple young people and to support the local church and your local youth workers in discipling their young people through providing resources, giving young people leadership opportunities. And finally, we want to reach young people. So we want to try and reach those that have not yet been reached with the gospel through establishing new youth groups and encouraging young people to bring their friends along to our monthly gatherings. So hopefully that's a little bit of a picture of what the youth network is. We're working with a lot of churches. I won't list them all, but there's some fabulous people that are involved with this, as is your church here, and you might have seen some familiar faces on that video. But the farm of Christian Youth Network, it is fantastic. But if we really want to unlock youth potential in this town, then it can't just be youth leaders or the youth network that is investing in young people. We really need the local church here in this town to step up and to commit to the next generation. And already you guys do some incredible things. We've been talking this morning already when you shared about having an impact on people's lives. I think you guys get it, that you've got the ability to impact other people. And so some of what I say this morning might not be new information. But you're already doing things for young people. TLG is absolutely fantastic. I think it's genius. I visited a few times, and I think the work that they're doing there is second to none. But we're going to spend the next 5 hours together. Look, I'm joking, we're not doing that. I won't be that long. So I just thought I'd see if you were still awake. It's all good. But we're going to just spend the next, hopefully, 15 minutes or so looking at scripture together, and I'm going to share some of my own experiences. And we're going to start... we're going to look together this morning at the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000, which John briefly mentioned earlier on. I was like, where's he going with this? Don't steal my thunder. But we're going to look at John 6, verses 1 to 15. So if you want to get your Bibles out, that would be wonderful. And I shall just read this. So John 6, 1 to 15. Jesus feeds the 5,000. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee. That is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with the disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Bit cheeky that, isn't it? Bit cheeky. But then Philip answered him, "It would take more than a half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they all had enough to eat, he said to the disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. So you might think that that's a slightly bizarre passage to choose, but as soon as John told me about this theme of unlocking youth potential, this was the first thing that popped into my mind. And I think there's a few things that we can learn from the how Jesus responds and the imagery that is used in this passage that relate to us and how we can impact young people. So the first thing I want us to focus on in this passage is Peter's response to Jesus's slightly cheeky question. because Jesus asks, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? Basically saying, how on earth are we going to feed all of these people? Knowing full well what the answer was going to be. But Peter responds by saying, here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many? Peter figures out, doesn't he, that they could try and use the very thing that was in front of them. And that thing was this boy's lunch of bread and fish. And then Jesus takes that offering, doesn't he, and he does something amazing and incredible. And I want us to imagine for a moment, instead of Jesus saying, how on earth are we going to feed all of these people? Imagine Jesus saying to us right now, how on earth are we going to reach all of these young people? How do we unlock the potential that is found in our young people? Well, I think Jesus wants us to think about what is it that we have in our hand? What is right in front of us that we can use? And we see this time and time again, don't we, in Scripture, that Jesus uses the most unlikely of people to do the most amazing of things. Whether you are 12 or whether you're 112, God has given us all unique gifts and personalities that he, if we are willing to offer them to him, he will use to build his kingdom. And I think sometimes, as soon as somebody gets up at the front and starts to mention young people and how can we work with young people, some of us shut off, don't we? We pretend to fall asleep or we just start to ignore what's being said because you're like, that's not really my gig. I'm not really sure about young people. Can't really do that. And maybe that's because you think you're too young. Maybe you think, I don't know enough, or I don't really know if God wants to use me to impact my friends. Or maybe it's the opposite. You think that you're too old and you think, I'm not really relevant to young people anymore. I don't really understand this TikTok thing they keep talking about, or I don't know, Fortnite. That's just different to me. I'm not relevant to them. And I want to encourage you that I have totally felt that way as well. I remember when I got this job at Zaks, I started working there part-time at first. I had a couple years worth of voluntary youth work experience whilst I was at university with Emily, went to the same uni. And I was like, how am I meant to communicate to these young people? I grew up very differently to a lot of the young people that I work with. I've not experienced half of the pain that some of the young people I work with have. But God started to reveal to me that he has gifted me to be able to communicate in different languages, not Taiwanese and Japanese, but to be able to communicate to people from different walks of life to me. And the more that I started to spend time with these people, not going to lie, first started out at Zaks, thought I was only going to be there for 6 months and then I was going to go travel the world. The Lord had other plans, because I found that I started to drive into Farmworth and I would just all of a sudden start bawling my eyes out and I'd just start to cry. And God just broke my heart for this place and for these young people, and I continue to keep asking him to do so when things get tricky, and like, I'm so ready for the Christmas holidays right now, but I just want the Lord to keep reminding me of his heart for these young people, because I love them. I think they're fantastic. They wind me up sometimes, but they are incredible. But I too felt that thing of, I've got nothing to offer these young people, but God has begun to use me, and we're seeing amazing things through this youth network now. And just about 10 minutes or so ago, I asked you, didn't I, to share maybe some people that have impacted your life when you were a young person, and what sort of impact that was. And I didn't actually share with you who's impacted my life. So I'm going to give you a very quick whistle-stop tour. And there's a reason I'm doing this, because I think there's some things that we can draw from it. So the first person for me from age 0 was my mum. She took me to church, which has been the foundation now for the rest of my life. Without that, I wouldn't have a relationship with Jesus. And she's allowed me to experience so many different things and given me loads and loads of opportunities and has demonstrated endless kindness to me the rest of my life. And then when I was 12, there was a guy called Keith who was probably in his 40s. He was a leader at my church in Barrow Bridge. And he asked me to join the worship team. Now, I'd only been having guitar lessons for a number of months, and I probably knew about three chords. So when I joined the worship team, I used to sit at the back on a stool, and I would, every so often, when a chord came up that I recognised, I'd strum it, and then I'd wait for the next one, genuinely how I started. And now, like, worship and worship leading is a huge part of my life. It's a main way that I connect with Jesus, so I'm so grateful for that. When I was 13, a lady called Sheila, who was probably in her 60s, she asked me to start doing some prayers at the front of church, and then she asked me to do a reading, and then got me to co-lead a service with her. When I was 14, a guy called Steve, who was probably in his 50s, he saw me playing tennis just at the local tennis club for a bit of fun, and asked me if I wanted to join their junior tennis team. I was rubbish at tennis, still am, but I then played tennis for about 6 years. When I was 16, my youth worker at my church called Jo, she was in her 30s, she asked me to preach for the first time after I'd been away with her, and she asked me to preach, and she was one of the main people that invested in me throughout my entire teenage years. And then there was a guy called Nigel, who was probably in his 70s, asked me to join a choir and an orchestra, and I got to travel the world with this orchestra singing, which was amazing, and he believed in me, believed in my giftings as a worship leader, believed in my musical gifts. When I was 17, a teacher at my school, probably in her 30s, she invested every single Thursday night to help me learn Spanish so that I would get through my A-levels. She helped me when I was really struggling with stress in my life, when I got overwhelmed. When I was 18, I started university. A lady called Anna, in her 40s, she invited me into her home and welcomed me into her family, and I'd go around once a month for a hot chocolate and a chat. And even now, age 23, a lady called Rachel, again, probably in her 40s, I go around to her whenever I'm struggling, whenever I need to talk to somebody. And the reason I've given you that whistle-stop tour is because out of all those nine people that I've just mentioned, only two of them were qualified to work with young people. One was a youth worker and one was a teacher. The rest were just your average Joe blogs who do all sorts of different things with their life. And the other thing I wanted to, the reason I mentioned all their ages is because some of those people aged from 30 all the way through to a 70-year-old. It does not matter what age you are as to whether you can or can't have an impact on a young person's life. And finally, all of those people I just mentioned, they all took time to get to know me, to understand me, to listen to me. And the most important thing is that they saw something in me and they called it out of me. They took time to invest in what they saw in me, to encourage me and to build me up, to give me opportunities to grow. So hopefully that's a little bit of an encouragement to you. So no matter what age you are, no matter what your background is, we all have the ability to impact a young person's life. And I want us to, for a moment as a church, to just think about what is right in front of us. What is right in front of this church? Some of you already might be like, oh yeah, I could do that. I could maybe impact a young person. Where are the young people? Well, the young people, they're all around. In Bolton, there are 25 high schools, 7 of which are in close proximity to this church. Esser Academy, Harper Green, Kersley Academy, Little Lever School, Mount St. Joseph, St. James's, and of course, the one you know very well, TLG. There are at least another 15 primary schools that are in this surrounding area as well. And you don't have to be a genius to know that the two most important stages of a young person's life and their faith journey is the moment when they move from primary school into high school, and then the moment they leave college to go to university if they choose to do that. So connecting with young people in their school life is crucial if we want them to grow in faith and choose to follow Jesus throughout the rest of their lives. And the second thing that you have right in front of you in this church, as well as schools, is young people already. We did a show of hands, didn't we, before, of how many people are in this room under the age of 25. And there's already quite a few, which is amazing. And you already have an amazing team of people that are doing youth ministry here at this church, that are investing in young people. But as I said before, with my kind of own experience of people investing in me, is it is our responsibility as the church to pray and to discern the giftings that our young people have, and then to call them out. There's a young person that I work with at Zach's who is a bit of a challenge. She doesn't know Jesus yet, but she is the ringleader of the group, the big group that we often see at some of our sessions. And she is a natural born leader. And I believe one day she will know Jesus and she will be a leader within the church. But she has got leadership gifts. So if you can see something, whether it's creativity, whether it's welcoming, maybe they've even got a gift for prayer. If you see something in the young people that are here in this church, how can we encourage and draw that out of them and develop that gift in? If people had not done that with me, if Keith had not given me that opportunity to start strumming a few chords in the worship band, I honestly don't think I would be here today. Because I was the only young person in my church. I grew up in a church in the middle of this tiny little village, which was very cute, but I was the only young person there. All of my friends left as soon as they got into high school, and it was at that moment that somebody said to me, do you want to be part of this team? And that gave me a sense of ownership and a sense of value. And if it wasn't for that, I don't think I would have stuck out church, and I definitely wouldn't have the relationship that I have with Jesus today. So, and I know that in this church, that for John and for Helen, something that they long to see is for young people to grow here, to be inspired here, and for them to grow so much in their faith that their roots are so strong that when they leave here to move to another place, or if they leave for university, that their faith is not going to be shaken. And so this time is really, really crucial. But part of the cost that comes with investing in young people within our churches is that we have to be prepared for a little bit of mess. And that's the second thing that I want us to look at in our passage, is that Jesus was up for chaos. I don't know about you, but cooking for 12 on Christmas Day, not that I do it, my mum does most of it, but cooking for 12 is enough chaos to send anybody batty. But feeding 5,000 people, I imagine, was slightly chaotic for Jesus and quite messy. And we know, don't we, about Jesus' character is that he was not afraid of mess. He spent his entire life hanging out with those very people that everybody else thought was a waste of space or that was a mess. And if we want to unlock the potential of our young people, then we need to be okay with mess, with things not running perfectly. For example, people were willing to take a risk with me when it came to preaching. They didn't know what I was going to get up and say. I could have said something horrendous. But they took a risk with me. They took a risk with my guitar playing. And I'm so grateful for that. When we have these youth gatherings, Axia, I'm really keen for me to be out of a job and for the young people to do it all. And I remember one of the first gatherings that we ever had, I was leading worship, and we had some young people from Zach's sat near the front, and we were doing this song that was quite, you know, calming, and, you know, it was lovely. Two of my young people got their phones out of their pockets, turned the torches on, and started to do this during worship. Which, you know, to those of us that are churchgoers, probably wouldn't do that, would we? But I just had to smile at them and just be like, so they're like, oh, okay. and they put it away. But I love that. And you know what? They still come now. So even though it was a bit messy and maybe not how I would have wanted them to respond, and they were being a bit distracted, it was beautiful. And, you know, we don't want to just slam them down and tell them that they're being silly, but we want to encourage them and love them and put up with a little bit of their chaos. Jesus put up with chaos. And as a result, in this passage we see, don't they, that people were amazed by him. And my hope is that we see the same with our young people. As we welcome their mess and their chaos and their crazy ideas and the things that they want to do, that Jesus would be revealed to them through the way, as a church, we respond to them. And finally, the thing I want to touch on in this passage is verses 12 and 13, because we see, don't they, that when they had all had enough to eat, Jesus said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over and let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After Jesus had taken that small offering of the loaves and fishes, we end up seeing an overflow, don't we? And when I first started this job in the youth network, I had spent some time praying, and I felt the Lord speaking to me through Isaiah 61. A number of people had given it me in prophetic words and things, and this like really fired me up when I first started, because I really believe that whatever we can offer in terms of investing in our young people in this town, that we will see an overflow from that. And I'm just going to read Isaiah 61 to you, because it says this is verses 1-4. It says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations." And I remember reading this for the first time, and I felt God say that we need to remove that word Zion and place it with the word Farmworth. But also, as you read through that passage, it talks about the Spirit of the Lord is on me, on us, as God's people. We're called to do these things. But then you'll notice it's like halfway through verse 3 and then verse 4 is the word changes to they. So it goes from being about this is what we're called to do, and as we do this, they will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. And I felt so strongly that God was saying that as we invest in young people, it's going to be them who are the ones that are going to restore. I honestly believe that as we spend more time with our young people, families are going to be changed, generational lines of mental health problems and addictions are going to be changed, schools are going to be changed because of the things that we invest in young people, and ultimately this town will be changed. And I honestly believe that it starts with this generation, it starts with our young people, it's going to be birthed through them. So I want to just end by asking you that question again. What do you have right in front of you? Are you somebody that is under the age of 25 in this room? What sort of gifts do you think that God has given you? What things are you passionate about? What is your character? What are you good at? Are you somebody that is confident and maybe you could do something crazy, like get up in front of your whole school and share testimony or do a Bible reading? Or are you creative? Are you good at being artistic? Could you make something for a friend that might bless them whilst they're going through a difficult time? And if you're not in that category, what do you have in front of you right now that could bless a young person? And there's three things I want us to think about. Number one is volunteering. Maybe you could volunteer at this church with the youth group. I know that they're struggling a bit for leaders here. So maybe that's something that you could invest your time in. Or maybe you could volunteer with a local youth provision. It could be Zach's or Farmworth Youth Centre. Are you someone that's free during the daytime? Are you retired or are you just happen to be free? Because I know people that will offer mentoring in local primary schools or secondary schools. There's a guy at my church that goes into our local primary school once a week and he just sits and reads with boys that are normally quite troublesome in class. But just that half an hour of one-on-one time with an older male figure is really impacting them. Could you volunteer to help with our monthly gatherings at Axia or with the wider uniting initiative of Youth Unite? To be on refreshments or to help set up? But if that sounds like too much, just working with young people that regularly, then you could also give. Giving financially. I've got a little leaflet here if you want to find out more about how you can give to the youth network or giving to TLG or other youth projects in this town. You could bake if you're into baking. You could fundraise for youth projects. I know that the young people here go on a trip every year to one event, that's it, to one event, and you know, maybe you could sponsor a young person to go away and do that. Do you have certain expertise that you could offer a local youth group? Are you good at sewing or cooking, or you know how to change a tire on a bicycle? These are all life skills that young people need to learn. Could you maybe team up with a youth worker and teach some of those skills? But finally, the most important thing that the church, that we need the church to do, is to pray. We need to pray for our young people. We need to pray that God might reveal himself to them, that their lives would be completely turned around, that God would provide the manpower. There is like something like 5,000 young people in the high schools that are in Farmworth. And currently at Zach's, we're only managing to work in two of them because it's really hard to get through the doors sometimes. Could you pray for open doors in our schools? Could you pray for the young people that are in this church? And I think it would be really good to respond by praying together now. Should we stand for a moment and... maybe you feel already this morning like that, oh, actually, I feel like I want to get involved with something. And maybe there's just something that's been said, an example, or something's brought to mind. And you feel like, actually, yeah, maybe God's nudging me to do something about this. Well, we just want to pray. I'm just going to pray and invite the Holy Spirit to come and see what the Lord says, if that's all right. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. Father, I ask that that you would reveal your heart to us right now for young people in this town. God, I ask that if you've already begun to stir something in people's minds and in their hearts for young people, God, I'd pray that you would bring clarity and that you would reveal to them the very thing that you're calling them to do. God, I ask right now that you might bring specific young people to our minds that you want us to invest in. God, I ask that you might place specific schools on our hearts as well, Father. And I think it would be really cool, actually, if we, if you are a young person in this church, if you're under the age of 25, would you mind coming forward to the front and standing here? It's a really brave thing to do. But I just think it'd be really awesome if us as a church family would maybe pray over these guys. Whether we could, that's it, come forward, look at that. I think it'd be really great if we could pray for them. Do other people want to maybe gather? Come gather round these young people. Don't be shy. They don't bite. And I think, yeah, it'd be really great if we could pray, if we could ask God, like we was talking about before, ask God maybe to show us who he has made these young people. Who are they? What gifts has he given them? And let's pray blessings upon them as well. Let's pray that they would know Jesus, that they would know how much Jesus loves them, what he has for their lives. So should we begin to pray? If you want to pray out loud, if you want to, let's all just pray together, I think. Why not? Should we pray for them?
Father God, just thank you for our young people. I thank you for each one of them, Lord, and for the unique gifts and talents that they possess. And Lord, we pray for boldness and courage in their lives, Lord, to stand strong for you, to keep going in the face of pressure of society, of peers that would say, stop and conform to the ways of the world. Pray, Lord, they'd have the courage and the boldness to push back against that and to be who you've made them to be. Lord, you've made them to be great, not to fit in, but to stand out. Lord, I pray against that reticence and that shyness that some of them will have. That, Lord, you give them the boldness of a lion. That, Lord, they would just stand strong they'd be able to go beyond what they currently think they can do themselves. Because, Lord, they're not by themselves, that you are with them. You are leading them and guiding them. I pray, Lord, that they would dare to be different. They would dare to stand out. I pray for the schools where some of them will be tomorrow. And I pray, Lord, that they're the ones that are in. They're the ones that are on the inside. They're the ones that can affect a change. And I pray, Lord, they'd have the courage to be all you want them to be. I pray, Lord, they'd be the ones who befriend the kids without friends. They'd be the ones who would speak good about everyone in the school. That they'd be the ones that make a difference. Lord, I pray you'd give them the voice. And that, Lord, they would gather others around them. Lord, that silent majority who never speak out and yet don't like the way things are going. Pray that our young people would lead others. And that, Lord, they would bring lasting transformation. Just thank you for them, Lord. Keep your hand upon them. Lord, I pray success in study. I pray success in employment. I pray success in all that they do because they lean on you. We just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thanks, Kristen. That was brilliant. We're going to close our time together by singing again.